The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Blue is the color of the NTA. On the line, just see if we could get Mr. Errol Fabian on the line here. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Bass, how you doing?
One love. Oh, okay, man. Yes, man. Yes, man. So you have a big post there, but you're the communications director of the National Transformation Alliance. How did that come about, sir?
Well, wow, that's a big question and a loaded question.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you that, as you may know, I've been an independent politician for a long time.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. I had shied away from party politics until one day I got a call to express interest, if I had any, with the National Transformation Alliance.
Right, right.
Well, I wanted to meet Gary Griffith face to face because I had issues with him. I don't think we saw eye to eye on a couple of things in terms of statements he made and so on.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that a non-policeman should have been elevated to Commissioner of Police when he was.
Okay.
So I went to see him to get these things off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I had known him from on the outside looking on as an arrogant, pig-headed man.
Right, right, right.
All right. So I went to meet him and I had my say.
Mm-hmm.
And the man I met is not the man that I thought he was.
Okay.
And I accepted the chance to work with and to contribute and support the National Transformation Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a very good relationship since. It's been 2 years, and I can't complain at all in terms of the man, his policies, the direction he sees for the country. And I remain a very strong and avid supporter of the National Transformation Alliance.
Nice, man. Beautiful. So you met with him and all your misconceptions were taken.
Yeah, yeah, out. Yeah. I went with my chest high to offload.
So yeah, so I know you're a man, you don't put water in your mouth. You actually told him all these things. I don't like this, I don't like that, you know.
Correct, that's right.
Nice. And that is something I believe that a lot of the people on the ground don't have with a lot of our politicians. Like your MP, you should be able to go to your MP, your council, and talk to them just like that, you know?
I quite agree with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk to them like that. So you being the communications director, what does that actually, you know, what is your portfolio there?
Well, the role of the communications director is to make sure that the communications that the party has mm-hmm. gets out to the media in a timely manner and gets to the correct media in the correct time.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do a lot less of that now. My role is more so looking at arts and culture because my interest in the politics of Trinidad and Tobago has a lot to do, or more to do with arts and culture
mm-hmm.
than it has to do with communications.
All right.
So my good buddy, Mr. Tim Timal, controls a lot of the communication work now. I assist where I can, having a media house and those kind of things help to that. However, my interest and my work in the party has more to do with looking at policy and direction for arts and culture in Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, definitely. So you and our five other National Transformation Alliance members have been selected to be the party to serve as constituency custodians. What is a constituency
right.
custodian?
We may have heard the term shadow MP before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in that direction, but it is the same but different.
Mm.
As a constituency custodian, we've been asked to take a look at the constituencies. We've been asked to identify the interest groups within the constituencies and to help them in connecting them with institutions and agencies that can help them get their work done. We've also been asked to identify deficiencies in the constituency and more so assets of the constituency, because you would appreciate to build a town or a village or a society, we must have a good sense of the assets of that society or that village so that we can sow into the assets to try and raise. And a lot of times people get carried away with putting expenditure into the liability of a society. And that has its place. But if you want to grow the society, you have to put resources into the assets of it. And that is what we've been asked to do as constituency custodians, to look at the constituencies, to pretty much do an inventory, to look at what is there, what is going good, what are the needs, what are the special interests, what is, you know, all of these different things, what institutions need to be brought to bear in terms of communicating with the people on the ground, and how can the people on the ground access what is available for them already provided by the state.
Nice. Now, is it a policy of the party that, you know, now that to represent a constituency, you actually have to be or living in the constituency?
It's not at all a policy of the National Transformation Alliance to represent a constituency. The NTA asks that you have passion and drive and want to work with the people there. Guapo, where Point 14 falls into that area, is a place where I grew up. I spent all of my childhood years there up to 17 years old. I went to school from there. And it's a place I have a lot of passion and love for. You know, I'm a Guapo boy, I'm a Guaponian. If you ever hear me talking anywhere, especially on radio, anything, you'll know I am pro-Guapo all the way.
I've heard you say that. But do you think, what do you say to some people who may think, well, that is a disadvantage, this man not from here, he know what we're going through. You know, he living up in town somewhere now in a nice high-rise house. We down here in Guapo, we suffering thing. How this man reaching out to us? How are we reaching out to him?
Two things, Guapo people not suffering. I don't live in a high-rise house, but I was in Guapo last night.
Okay.
I'm often there. I went Guapo for roast fish last night. My son and I took a drive, and we went down there, we eat roast fish, we went down on the beach, check some brethren and thing out there. Guapo is very, very close to my heart. I'm not at all unfamiliar with what's going on in the constituency. I'm not completely familiar, but I'm not at all unfamiliar with it. But the thing is about a custodian or even an MP, it's not really about what we want to bring to bear. It's about finding out what the people want and what they are going through. Mm-hmm. It's about listening and then looking to see what could be done, to what could be implemented, or what interventions could be made so the people could get what the people think is best for them.
And how are some of the ways you intend on doing this, reaching out to the people to get to hear the voices of the people?
Well, like I tell you, last night I was on the ground, we had a bingo going on in a space where I went to have my fish. I talk with people all the time. I'm a man on the ground. But as a custodian now, I will have to set up what I call listenings.
Right.
A lot of people call them meetings, but I call it listenings, because people, and I am listening, recording, and taking notes, because I want to be an effective custodian of Point 14, so I need to know and I need to hear. And of course, you know, I have to hear all the negative things about myself too, because there are people who want to tell you, you know, you from Tongbo, you got sell out or whatever it is, you know, because I think people are hurt. Our society by and large is hurt. They've been betrayed and they don't feel that they've gotten their money's worth. And I think Point 14 in particular and La Brea are two places, and I would admire that, who feel like that. They feel that they've been on the forefront of the energy production in the country. They've done a lot, they've given a lot, but when they look around, they don't see the kind of development infrastructurally and otherwise that happens in the cities, the bigger cities in Trinidad and Tobago. So those are very hurt people, and it's about reaching out and trying to find a way to chart a way forward, because we have to have like a policy, a way that, okay, so we want to achieve this, we want to achieve that, this will take 2 years, this will take 4 years, or however time it is. But once I could buy into what the people want, then we could work together. Very, very important.
All right. And who are some of the other constituency custodians, if you don't mind mentioning the names?
I don't mind mentioning them at all. We have Russell Chan, who is for Diego Martin Central.
Okay.
We have Gail Castaneda, who is in Port of Spain South. We have his name, Inaitola, because we so concentrate on his surname. Mr. Inaitola, who is the... He's a shadow MP, or the custodian, forgive me, for Samoa, Laventil. That's the name of Barataria Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also the coordinator for East. In Safi Naitola is his name, coordinator East, for all of the party. We also have a coordinator, a custodian for Lopino Bonner in the person of Nicolene Chincham, Taylor Chinchami,
mm-hmm.
and myself.
Now, you're...
These are the custodians who've been identified.
Right. Now, your name will be, of course, the most popular name. Everybody would know Errol Fabian, but you mentioned some names there, and I'm, you know, to my ignorance, I don't really know those people. Right?
Correct.
Yeah, no, no.
But you will come to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You will come to know them, because I would tell you that Nicolene, there's also our deputy political leader, Norman Bindial.
Mm.
He's for Chaguanas East.
Right.
Now, this man comes with a very impressive resume. He may not be well known on the ground, but he has served this country well for many, many years. Gail was a candidate in the local general election for the very community in Port of Spain South. Nicolene Chinchami was a representative also, a nominee. She went up for Bonner, Lopino Bonner, for local government election. Russell Chan also faced the polls for local government elections. So, in fact, he's been working with the party as the coordinator for the East Zone, all of the constituencies in the East. So, no, they're not very known people, but I know them, and I know them as hardworking people and people who have their heart in the communities that they're seeking to be custodians of.
All right, nice. We're talking to Mr. Errol Fabian here, the NTA, going up to be a constituency custodian out there in, Guapo.
Point Fortin, right? Yes.
Point Fortin, right? If anybody has any questions, feel free. You have to message me at 388-1065, and we will share your messages and notes to Mr. Errol Fabian. So a lot of things that happen in the constituencies in the areas, the youths are balling with unemployment, people want jobs, you know, some people like they just want things to come and fall in their lap, but our people always talk about creating opportunities. I don't know, sometimes it seems like we're begging people to take opportunities, or maybe you could create opportunities for yourself.
There are a lot of opportunities out there,
uh-huh.
and a lot of programs that exist, but they are disconnected from some people.
Uh-huh.
Some people have come through their time in Trinidad and Tobago with their hand out.
Uh-huh.
There has been a nurturing of a culture of, wait, I'll give you something.
Yeah, give me.
But we have a generation now who's not waiting. They are demanding,
right.
and they want something, and they feel entitled, and they are entitled to something. But they also need to understand that work has to be done to get a little something. All right? So part of the work that has to be done is to familiarize them with the programs that exist.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of educational programs. There are a lot of apprenticeship programs. There are different programs like that that can help youth. However, I don't feel satisfied that a number of the programs that exist take that youth age group in mind, because their world that they're growing into has more to do with apps and IT and online and connectivity than it has to do with electricity and plumbing and those things. And they don't yet understand that they must have those things to be able to enjoy the other things.
Mm.
So all whereas it is very important for us to be training up the new welders and plumbers and electricians, we also need to be training up the new IT specialists and the new people who will be coding and writing programs and developing apps to work on devices, and to really be looking at where the world is and how learning is now. You know, less and less people are in classrooms all around the world.
Uh-huh.
So we need to know that we're developing more and more robust systems in countries to develop with the, to keep in line with the virtual classroom that is developing greater and greater. Even the workplace is becoming more and more virtual. And this is a call a lot of people made for even before COVID, but COVID came and brought it straight home to us. You know, today, you go to St. Vincent Schritte do a Chef on the Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Many people all over the world are staying at home and doing their Chef on the Radio now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
More and more that is the case. People are staying home and doing their shift on television.
Right.
People are staying home and doing their work as an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
People are staying home and doing all kinds of things. We don't want policemen to stay home to do their work, though.
I want folks that are coming.
We still need them in person.
Yeah.
But I think trying to manipulate the offerings that the state has to offer to the needs and the growing needs of not just the youths who exist now, because that's not enough. We have to be looking for those youths who will be coming into the world in 2030, in 2035. That's who we need to be preparing for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of resistance to train. I'm that old man, and I'm 64 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of resistance to change in my age group.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
in people younger than me, there's a lot of resistance to change.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if we don't embrace it, then we're going to be on the negative side of history, I will have to say, because history will write.
And
history will say.
Yeah, but don't you think that has to start also with the education system? I keep saying we keep teaching these young people how to take a job instead of making a job. Like entrepreneurship is very big, is the way to go. But we are not teaching. We have thousands of school leavers leaving school every single year just waiting thing for a job. You send out a resume, you're waiting for somebody to answer back to you. You should be leaving school with a skill or some knowledge of this is what I'm going to do when I leave school.
That's very, very important, base what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm.
And, our school system was set up by the colonials who wanted to create factory workers.
Mm.
And it has done that successfully, but the age of the world has changed. We're not in that age anymore. We're in the information age and moving into a new age, and we're out of that age of industry, hard industry. But in school base, what hurts me is that our students leave school not knowing themselves, because there's no class in primary school that teaches our students or our citizens about the labor riots, about what happened in the 1970 revolution of the people of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, but you're going to 1970. They didn't even teach them what happened in 1990.
No, they're not.
Mm.
And if we don't know ourselves, it's difficult to chart our way forward.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know and understand who are the people whose shoulders this nation was built on. We have to know. They learn about slavery, they learn about indentureship, but they don't learn our story of slavery.
Right.
They don't learn our story of indentureship.
Uh-huh.
We're still teaching people about Caribs and Arawaks, and there were never any nation of first people called Caribs, nor was there one called Arawaks. And we know it's a lie, and we continue to teach it. And that hurts me a lot, because there are so many things about this great nation of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago that is not taught, that is not known, and because of that, it's difficult to work my way forward as a man in the world or a woman in the world, because I don't know myself, I don't know my history, I don't know my strength, I don't know this place where I'm living in.
Hmm. Definitely. So you've up for point 14. What are some of the unique things in point 14 that, you know, if chosen, that you would bring out, make different in point 14?
Well, again, my thing is to work with what people want to work with. So I have to do a lot of listening, but I have my own sense of point 14, right? Point 14 has created so many entertainers, right? And still, the place that we used to do most of the entertainment in Point, which was the Civic Center in Point 14, was broken down more than 20 years now and still not rebuilt. And in spite of that, we've been producing. We produce a lot of footballers. We produce a lot of athletes. Jareem, right now, Jareem the Dream is a Point boy. And we now fighting to get back Mahaika Oval. You know, so one of my dreams is to put and build a first-class stadium in Point 14, even if it's at the Mahaika Oval, to put a proper Mondo track, to put proper facilities, because I know Point 14 youths are going to turn up and they're going to use it. To get a good football league going in Point 14 again, bound to score, and all these great national players are from Point 14, you know? So The sports and entertainment thing is very big in Point Fortin, but we are also the bed of energy. The first set of oil production commercially in the world happened in that Guapo area. We have over 100-year history of creating energy down in Point Fortin. And the towns and villages that were built to sustain the refinery, which they closed down in Point Fortin before the Point of Pay refinery, they're decaying. But that infrastructure is good and it is sound. I see the LNG burning off a lot of natural gas because they're in the business of refrigerating gas. But there's infrastructure in the ground in Point Fortin area to take natural gas to the homes of people for them to use for cooking. Mm-hmm. That's what I grew up knowing, that you get gas in a pipeline coming to your house to cook in Point.
Now
there's so much more. There's gas production, but we don't have gas in the lines for us to cook in. There's one gas station, two gas stations in Point Fortin, possibly a third one, if you count the one in Gonzales Village, but they don't have CNG. And that is where the gas coming from. When the gas comes from offshore, it goes directly to a number of places. But the most gas accumulation in any place in Trinidad is in Point Fortin. And we do have a CNG gas station down there. You know, so there are a number of things based, a number of related things and other things, because we produce a lot of scholars. Academia has been a big thing in Point Fortin, you know. And I'm not here to say that it's dying or it's gone. I'm here to say, let's put some resources into these assets and build the town again. Let's have this. Why is Point Fortin not a city? You know, why is it a borough? You know, there's so many things. There's a lot, but I could come with all these things, heated about all these things, but maybe the people want to build a fisheries. Mm-hmm. Maybe the people want to do something else. You know, so I will come with my thoughts, but what will drive me base is the desires and the wishes of the people, so that they will buy in to making themselves and their children and their generations to come empowered to live a good life in Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, of course, folks, we're talking to Daryl Fabian, and here are some questions and some statements here. Nice. Don't judge a book by its cover. All right, Mr. Fabian. Excellent, excellent. Talking about your walk to a tank with Gary Griffith there.
Okay, guess, yeah, Mr. Fabian. I want to find out from Mr. Fabian this, why the NTA should be an option come next year. And what are you going to do different that the two political parties haven't been able to do?
I don't know if you heard the question. Why is the NTA an option, and what are you going to do different that the both political parties have not done?
So the NTA is different. And it should be, because there's a lot of despondency in the society of Trinidad and Tobago today. A lot of people have lost faith in the existing political parties. They have done their part, but it feels as though it's VHS in a flash drive era. We need to have new thinking, a new approach, and people who are less jaded by what has existed, people who have less obligation to financiers, people who want to see a new world and who want to be inclusive. Now, the National Transformation Alliance is by name an inclusive organization. Alliance. The National Transformation Alliance is by name an organization looking to make new things happen and to transform what we have. The world, globally, the whole world is in transformation more today than it has ever been. And of course, we are a national entity. So the National Transformation Alliance has signaled by its very name, listen, we are here, we are concerned about the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, we are ready for the transformation, we're ready to help make things happen, new things happen, ready to look in new directions, ready to do the new transformative things that need be done to develop the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. And we're saying that we don't want to do it alone, that we are ready to form alliances and work with like-minded people who want to get Trinidad and Tobago into a new place. And that answers both questions, why we should be an option and what we'll be doing different to the two parties that exist.
Of course, one of the number one, factors and problems in this country is crime. I know it's a broad-based question, and we had your leader, of course, a former commissioner of police, a former minister of national security. You know, in any way at all, if you could explain, how does MTA intends on, you know, heading to the crime situation in a different manner? Like you say, it can't be the VHS and a flash drive. What different right. is MTA going to do?
So we cannot at all ignore crime in Trinidad and Tobago. It is almost like an economic center in Trinidad and Tobago. So many people eat a food off a crime. It feels as though that it is a status quo that nobody wants to interrupt, you know, but it has to be broken. And one person did it in two different roles in our history, and that is Captain Gary Griffith. He dealt with crime when he was a Minister of National Security, and was fired by one prime minister. He dealt with crime when he was a commissioner of police and fired by another prime minister. And that says something, that two different prime ministers fired this man. It says something to me. It says that this man is not prepared to toe the line. Gary Griffith, as we all are aware, had brought policing into the new era. And it seems as though policing has slipped back, because we see in the introduction of suggestion boxes in police station as a means to fight crime. And they've done away with an app. Gary Griffith was involved in real-time policing in Trinidad and Tobago. It's why we used to see a few moments later, because people were able to download the app and, using the anonymity of that online app, reporting that was happening, and there was a fast response in Trinidad and Tobago while Gary Griffith and his team were running the police service in the way that he did. And I have to say, and his team, because I've always had a sense that Gary Griffith was a one-man show. I've come to see that that is not the man that Gary Griffith is. He ain't taking talk from nobody, eh? He will defend his honor and give you lyrics. But Gary formed a team to transform the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service. And what I'm seeing happening in National Transformation Alliance now is that Gary is forming a team and has formed a governance team around himself. And I will go into a meeting with Gary, and we will have a difference of opinion. And he'll be very vocal about what he thinks and what he feels. And the meeting done and we gone. You know, I get a call saying, I thought about what you said, and I want to talk about it again, or tell me some more about what you're feeling and so on. You know? And that is a man I could live with. He don't like a yes man around him, you know. You see, if everybody around him saying yes, 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 yeah, he will be an unhappy man. He would not be a happy camper. Hmm. So crime will be dealt with in a similar way that it was dealt in before, moving it into 21st century policing, as he likes to call it. But every aspect of our lives as Trinbegonians need to be dealt with in the same way. Teams need to be built. Teams comprising the best in the field. Not just teams comprising NTA people, you know. Teams comprising the best in the fields need to be assembled and brought to bear on energy, on crime, on education, on health, on social services, on every sector, on the age. What's happening with our aging population? You know, we have to bring teams together, and Gary has proven that this is something he can do successfully. Pull a team together, find a new way to do it, and push to get it done.
Hmm. All right, boy, Harold Fabian. Well said. Another, qualms of mine is the socially displaced, the vagrancy situation in Port of Spain is the worst. I mean, I'm sure, but it's all over Trinidad and Tobago. And I know this has a lot to do with a spiraling drug problem. And of course, you could relate. Hunt will be close to that, seeing where you came from, of course. But what are some ways we could do to deal with this homelessness and stuff? But why? To me, I walk in through Port of Spain, and sometimes I see a new homeless person every single day. I mean, it's really, really sad. But
it is disturbing. Mm. It is more than disturbing, because it seems as though we are helpless, but we're not. For for something to, like that to be dealt with, there has to be first the most important thing, which is political will. Then an analysis has to be done. What percentage of these people on the streets are poor? Because poverty is a big drive towards that. You call substance abuse addiction, but poverty is first and foremost with respect to people being on the street. So we need to do analysis to see how many people are there because of poverty, how many are there because of mental illness. Now, addiction is also a mental illness, but it falls in a category all on its own, right? And we need to then put in place the different interventions to mitigate against these things. First and foremost, how do we get those who are there now off of the street? One of the things that we had going for us was the Power Empowerment Center, where a lot of people with substance abuse problems were taken and would find help and respite and freedom. That's one of the things this government closed down during their tenure. They closed the Paparo Empowerment Center. Now, I come from Paparo this morning. I volunteered at a drug rehab center down there. Drug addiction is a very, very serious problem in our country, but help is there. There's a lot of help in Trinidad, and we need to put other things in place. There are people now, Mr. Russell Chan, who is the custodian for Diego Martin Central. Russell has a team. These guys do over 200 meals every single day for people who are homeless and cannot afford a meal. And this is from their pocket. These guys don't raise money. They don't advertise. They don't do any of this thing. So you know I'm talking all the man business here. But like I said, Gary's assembling a team. The homeless people in Port of Spain and San Fernando and Arima Turn are high on our radar. And we have the people within our team who can look at it. And, of course, these people have rights. It's not to go and corral them and go and put them on an island or them kind of thing, as I've heard different people saying. And I know people say these things out of frustration. We have to find these people's families. Who are their families? Who are their children? Who are their parents? Where are their brothers? Where are their sisters? It's a big exercise, but we have to start governing with care and governing with love. We have to start measuring performance. We have to look at leadership. We have to look at accountability. These are the things that we want to bring in so that we can deal with all of the sectors here in our beautiful Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. Homeless people, nobody likes to see that. Nobody wants to see that. And this is one of the things that will be dealt with in a proper manner with the right team.
The right team. So more people will be added to the team, I guess, as time goes on.
Absolutely. Registration, membership continues with the National Transformation Alliance. I don't know what our numbers are like now, but I know just Friday last there was a membership drive at our new headquarters in Mount Lambert. But we continue to have membership drives throughout the country looking to attract people who want to transform the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago.
And how does one become a member?
It's very easy, you know. You could call 646, I can't remember the number, forgive me. But it's simple and it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you shortly.
You can message
sure
me.
Somebody is listening and sending the WhatsApp information to me right now.
Yeah, but this man was the communications man. I can't remember the number, boy.
But it's 462 Gary.
Oh, it's
you
still
can 462. Send a WhatsApp to 462 Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And within 48 hours, if you send that message between Monday and Thursday,
he came back to 462
Gary, just saying, I want to become a member. Within 48 hours, you will be a member and you'll know how to come and collect your membership card.
All right, man. Well, nice chatting with you and all the best.
Miss, one love. Thanks for inviting me. It was an honor to be on your program today.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. Errol Fabian, folks. You know him as a comedian. Well, he's a serious man when it comes to the politics, too.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.